I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Studio Audience, a podcast that you absolutely must check out. Cannot recommend more highly than True Crime Obsessed, also known as TCO, hosted by none other than the incandescent Patrick Hines and Jillian Pensavalle. They are your hosts. I heard these two on a podcast. I heard them being interviewed, and it was like when somebody really beautiful walks into a room and you just can't stop staring and you just go, who is that? It was like the audio version of that, you know, just hearing them, the energy, the chemistry that they have together, the charisma, the uniqueness, the nerve and talent of those two is just irresistible. And not only that, they recap true crime documentaries and true crime stories with not only great storytelling, but also something that's very important to me as a prosecutor, so much compassion for the victims and their families. And that is something that they never stray from. So please check it out. True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Mostly.
We're two stepsisters bonded, living Hollywood lives. Even if one of us is watching for the very first time, all the good, the bad, the barky, take a peek inside. Let's rewatch and relive the good times. Keenan and they can give you deja vu.
Hi, this is Keenan and Lakin Give You Deja Vu, the rewatch podcast where we will take turns breaking down every episode of the 90s sitcom step by step in order. I'm Christine Lakin and I played Al Lambert.
I am Stacey Keenan and I played Dana Foster.
We're going to tell you how it really went down because
we were there.
Now, this is a bonus episode, so this time we're not going to be breaking down an episode of Step by Step, but rather the episode that was the weekend we spent in Hartford, Connecticut, called
90s Con. Yes!
In which we were also both really there.
Yes, we were there. Wow, it was wild.
It was wild. So we went, if you're not familiar with 90s Con, this is a convention put together by That's For Entertainment. We had a blast. It was in Hartford, Connecticut in March. And this is an opportunity to go and connect with fans and sign autographs and take pictures and
meet everybody,
meet and greet. And we did some, what would you call those? Panels, I guess, with the rest of the step-by-step cast.
We did a panel. We judged a cosplay contest.
Oh, it was great. We're going to get into all of it. But we thought it would be really fun to recap our weekend in Hartford.
Here's the recap.
Talk about all the behind-the-scenes details.
Yes. And in the comments, there have been some requests to talk about 90s Con. So we heard you. We are listening. And here it is.
Okay. First of all, Stacey, have you ever been to a convention like 90s Con before?
No. Never. Never, never. And everyone said, it's so fun. It's so wild. You're not going to believe it. And I didn't know what to expect, but it kind of changed my life, actually.
I loved it. Yes. Like, I really, really loved every moment of it.
It was, it completely changed how I view the show.
That's interesting. In what way? Yeah,
because, you know, if you've been listening to us recap the episodes of season one of Step by Step so far, you know, I think maybe I didn't really know what the show was. I didn't really appreciate the show, or I just am figuring out that the show is funny. Not always, but at times it is funny. And, you know, sometimes I'm surprised at how good it is. Other times I'm disappointed because I don't think it's good. But anyway, meeting the fans there who love the show and who watch the show maybe as part of their childhood, and now they showed up to 90s Con with their kids and they're watching the show with their kids, or people who say, I have this on every morning when I'm getting ready. Just this is the background as I'm getting ready every day, is just to have Step by Step on. And just hearing what it meant to people and how, you know, that this word has come up in the podcast, but comforting. People mm-hmm. find it so comforting, and they just take a lot of, you know, refuge. I've heard the word refuge in the show. And I've just really, it was so moving.
It was.
Hear that and to kind of realize that it means something to people. It really blew me away.
It was really humbling in many ways. You know, you do these things, 30 years go by, you decide to start watching it for the first time, you, namely, and you wonder sometimes, I mean, I wonder in my life, like, does any of our work actually matter? Is it all just disposable? Does it all just go out into the ether? And does anybody really care? And you go to something like that. And when people, I had several people come up to me and say, I started rewatching your show during the pandemic,
for
instance. And I was going through a very dark time or a very hard time. And it was so comforting. It really got me through some hard times or hard surgeries I had. Or I watched this with my dad. And when my dad passed, it was really comforting to watch it again because it reminded me of all the memories I had co-watching this show with him. Oh, God, I could cry. It was so sweet.
People said the same thing. One person said, this show takes me back to going to my papu's house. He knew that we watched the show. And he knew that we kids loved the show, so he would tape the show for us.
Oh.
And we would go to his house on Saturday mornings and watch the show with him.
Oh.
And so watching the show brought this person back to those memories. And it's just so sweet where you realize, oh my God, this isn't just this pointless fun, but ultimately pointless job that you had 1,000 years ago, and who cares?
Right.
But it actually has become part of the fabric of some families. It was so moving. It blew me away. And I went from thinking, when I got there, I thought, I don't know. Okay, I was on this show. I don't know. Does anyone care? To afterwards thinking, is this show American canon?
Yes.
Which maybe now I went from having too low of an opinion of the show to now having too high of an opinion of the show. All right, of a sudden, the show is the Godfather.
I don't think the Academy's calling, but okay. But yeah, the other thing I was really surprised at, and like you and I have done a few of these types of fan interaction shows before, but it's been a very long time. And I did one maybe 20 years ago. 15?
Very, very few and far between. Somebody calls up and says, do you want to do one of these things?
Yeah.
And it always seems kind of awkward, but it's been a long time.
So we went to one many years ago in New Jersey, I believe.
Yes.
It was called Chiller. It was more geared towards horror and cartoons and animation and things like that.
Right.
We had a lot of fun. It was great to meet people. We went to New York after. We made a whole girls trip out of it.
We partied our off.
Yep. We definitely went shopping and ate a lot of ice cream and went to a nice dinner. It was fun. I felt like 90s Con was on another level apart from that, even in that people are there for one specific, very exclusive niche, which is the 90s, so let's just break it down. The types of other people that were at 90s Con. We are talking step by step. Fuller House, Full House and Fuller House, Seventh Heaven, Dawson's Creek, Roswell. Randomly, Marissa Tomei was there.
Oh, yes, she was. And I have Susan a story Sarandon. About that. We'll get back to that. Oh. Susan Sarandon and
Gina Davis. They were doing a Thelma and Louise
reunion.
Mira
Sorvino was there. Movie stars, people. Not TV stars. Bums like us. Actual movie stars.
Boy Meets World, but all in this kind of zeitgeist of the 90s. So when you're getting this audience that is walking through this large convention hall, I just could not believe how, first of all, how organized, what a massive undertaking it was. The people that came in droves to come out from all over.
It was insane. So people, you have a little table and, you know, you're at your table and people can get a photo or something. And there were people who came up. There was a person who took a photo with the whole cast who came from Germany. There were multiple people who came from France, who watched Notre Belle Famille, the French version of the show. There were people who said, you know, I drove from Michigan to Connecticut once I heard that, you know, when I heard the step-by-step cast was going to be here, I drove up.
That's so wild. Amazing. Yeah. And I can see how it would be. I understand what an event it is. You know, you think someone's just coming to see you. Well, they're not. They're coming to see all the people there.
Okay, fine.
But there was merch, there were activities, there were
photo ops,
there were
all
panels.
All these vendors and panels. And
there was a karaoke contest.
And the cosplay contest, and a lot of people were dressing up. And
it's a whole event. It's a whole weekend. So fun.
It was really well done.
Let's roll back to the beginning.
Okay.
And let's talk about our personal experience
fated experience of getting there.
The travel.
Wait, I wanted to jump in.
Please.
Stephen Ray Morris,
world's most fabulous and famous
SRM.
Podcast producer. And we are so thrilled and proud to say he is producing our little show.
We're now saying TGI SRM.
Yes, that has been on our group text, our never-ending group text, 1,000 times, TGI SRM, as Stephen rides in and saves the show.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to jump in because when you were... You know, it's been so fun working together, and we have our text thread, and we're like, you know, memes, stuff from the show. But then there was like a day where I'm like texting a bunch of like, oh, it worked on this episode. And I knew you guys were traveling, but I didn't know the extent. And then the response, and I'll let you guys take it away. But I was just like, oh, they've been on their own. This is a step-by-step episode. Like,
Yeah. So travel in this day and age, I feel like is not what it used to be. Travel has just become so challenging in many ways.
The glamour and the luxury are not there.
So we are on the same flight, Stacey and I. And we actually, because Hartford is, I think, a commuter city and probably a little harder to get to from the West Coast, from where we were traveling, there were no direct flights. There's no direct flights from Los Angeles. Period. So we were going to have to stop no matter what. So we opted on the same flights and we had a layover in Dallas. It's supposed to be about an hour. We pick up another plane and we get on to Hartford, getting in like really late on a Thursday night.
So no problemo, right?
Yeah. So we can start all of our prep and everything for Friday's show. So we get on the first flight. Things are going great. They're serving us lunch. I mean, we're cheersing a little Prosecco. I'm like, this is awesome. I haven't flown first class in God knows how long.
Same. Years.
Years and years.
So it was a real thrill.
It was such a thrill. And I am getting work done. I am talking to the gentleman next to me. We made friends. It was all awesome.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there doing what I always do, which is I decide that I'm not going to watch a movie, but then I sit there silently watching someone else's movie.
Oh my God.
With no sound. And then I wonder if they see me that I'm sitting there just watching their movie. It's real weird. Anyway.
Wait, do you do that because you just don't want to have to go through the agia of picking something?
I don't know. I just decide, oh, you know what? No, I'm going to sleep. So I can't start a movie. That'll keep me up. But then I just end up watching someone
else. We're the same person. I do that all the time.
That's so funny. So, okay, there were very high winds in California, I should say. We were a little bit late getting out, departing our plane. So when we finally land in Dallas, I think due to some of the high winds and also some of the other traffic, we realized we're not going to make this connection.
Yeah.
Our connection to Hartford is no bueno. And I look back at Stacey multiple times during this flight, starting to realize this might be happening. And she is snoozing. She is asleep. She is in her travel outfit, her blue skirt and shirt combo plate, like matching travel outfit. I, by the way, am wearing, I think, sweats. Like I am just comfy comforsons.
Listen, this particular outfit, I bought it for the con because look, I have not had to do public appearances in decades. I am not equipped for this anymore. Unlike Lakin, okay? I don't have, you know, just camera-ready outfits, lashes, all the stuff. I don't have any of that. So I just started shopping like a maniac before this thing, just the boxes that were arriving at the house, just one after the other as I'm desperately trying to find something that will look decent in these photos, which all it came out a mixed bag if you've seen the pics. But anyway, this particular outfit, I loved the outfit, but it's real big. It's kind of this, it's kind of 90s actually. It's like a really big long skirt and a really big baggy jacket. And it's really cool. You know, I had some cool like sneakers with it, but it's not, I mean, flattering is not the word. It's an enormous sleeping bag type of look. It's big and baggy and comfy, but I decided, you know what? I'll keep this one and I'll wear it for the plane because I think it's kind of fly, but I'm not going to wear it in photos for the con because I look very, very big because it's a very big outfit.
Well, some things are meant for photographs and some things are not meant for life.
Some things have a shape and are tailored.
Sure.
And some things are not. This is not tailored. Anyway, sorry, sidebar.
So we land in Dallas. We've suddenly realized, and by the way, Dallas is also experiencing weather. Apparently Dallas, it is raining like you wouldn't believe. And as we get off the plane to realize we've missed our connection and we need to go stand in the line at American.
The line to hell.
The line
it's
to hell.
Long, miserable
snaking,
line.
Miserable
forever.
Line. All the people that were on our flight are now in this line. Dallas is also experiencing tornadoes.
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 Tornadoes. So we make it to the head of the line and are helped by a very kind and extremely capable gentleman who is fielding a phone call on his cell phone while he is helping us from his wife, who is hiding in a closet because the tornado is is hitting their town, their house. She's calling from the closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt terrible. I was
it
like,
was
sir?
Awful. He proceeds to help us. He's multitasking. He gets off the phone with his wife.
I didn't want to ask him anything. I felt awful.
It was terrible. Then a supervisor comes over. He's talking to her about when he can leave because he's got to get home. But he never stops computerizing over here. He's typing away, helping us find a flight. It was insane.
It was insane. And I also have this theory about people who work behind the desk at airlines. If Zootopia, you know, the movie Zootopia, if DMV people are to sloths in the movie Zootopia, people who work at the airlines are like a beautiful mind. I don't know what they're doing back there, but they're just typing and typing and looking and typing and doing equations. And it goes on for the longest period of time. And then all of a sudden they're like, here you go. And they just like give you this ticket.
Give you this thing.
That
yes.
took a million, you know, different
transactions.
Yeah,
and
translations, so, equations.
Yeah. So as much as there's so many complaints about the airlines for this, I wish we knew this gentleman's name over there at American Airlines, but thank you, sir. And I hope everything came out okay. He left. Thankfully, once he helped us, which I still can't believe he stood there and did that. That was his last transaction. And
yes.
He left
to go.
He went home.
Yeah. So we're now in Dallas. They wanted to try to send us that night to Chicago, and I just said no. I was not knowing how bad the weather already was and the tornadoes. I thought, if we get on that flight to Chicago and it sits on the tarmac for another 2 hours just to be canceled, and then even if it went, we'd be in Chicago at midnight, and then what are we doing?
That's sleeping at the airport or something. Yeah, that was a good call by Lakin.
I was like, we're going to stay here and we're going to just leave on a ripe 5 a.m. flight and we'll go to Chicago in the morning and then we'll jump another flight and we'll get to Hartford. Great. So now we are outside. I thankfully have a carry-on because I checked one bag and I have just some essentials in a carry-on.
I decided not to do that.
Keenan had a lot of faith in American Airlines and checked everything in a bag.
No.
Yes. And so I'm rolling like when Kate Winslet arrives to the Titanic and they are just, they have like one trunk and another trunk and another trunk and another trunk and there's more trunks and there's a hat box and a second hat box. It was kind of like that. And I checked all of that, you know, because of course I had to bring all the options. I don't know what you're supposed to wear for 90s con. What am I going to feel like wearing? What's the vibe? Who knows? So I did everything. And I have nothing. I have a carry-on little bag that is basically the enormous handbag that I bring to work every day. That's it. There's nothing in there. There's not a toothbrush. There's
nothing. I said, as we were leaving the Dallas airport, I said, are you sure you don't want me to buy you a large Don't Mess with Texas t-shirt?
To sleep in.
And she's like, I'll be fine. I'm like, all right.
I mean, I'm already wearing the sleeping bag.
You're wearing a sleeping bag. So
yeah.
We get outside. We finally get an Uber. And I have the bright idea to, I was like, we need to just eat. Let's just go eat.
Yeah.
What do we feel like? I find a sushi restaurant. That's true. Maybe 20 minutes from the airport. And it's closing in about an hour. Yeah. So we muscle our way over to this sushi restaurant.
It's in a strip mall. It was quite good, I must say.
I was happy with
it. And I had a glass of rosé that was excellent.
Yeah. We had a little dinner. And as we're at dinner, I'm on the Expedia and I'm just booking us a hotel room.
Lakin has the fastest fingers in the West. If you think, some of you out there, if you think you have a teenager that you don't understand how they can text that fast, I would put Lakin up against your 13-year-old any day. She has very small, nimble fingers, and they fly over that screen. Anyway.
I was able to get us a hotel room. I was like, we are set. This is great. We're going to have a little dinner. We'll have a glass of wine. We'll go back to the hotel. We'll split a room. And we're just going to get a few hours of sleep and it'll all work out perfectly.
No problemo. Oh, except all the problemos.
Except for all the
problemos. Every problemo.
We leave the sushi restaurant. It is now maybe 10 o'clock at night.
Yes. They closed at 10 and we were the last people in there. I felt bad for these poor employees.
But the good news is the hotel's only maybe a 15-minute ride.
Not yet. If not even. Very short. Yeah. It's right there.
I'm like, we'll be back by 10:30. We'll be checked in. Like lights out at 11. This is no problems. We order an Uber. The Uber cancels on us. I order a second Uber. This man can't find his way out of some kind of cul-de-sac.
You're just watching on the app. He's not moving. What is he doing?
The car is just going in circles. It just keeps turning around and turning around and turning around. And finally, after about 10 minutes, he cancels on us.
And we are standing outside of this closed restaurant in this abandoned strip mall. So then, of course, who should come along but Meth Dude? Because, of course, you have to have Meth Dude. So here comes Meth Dude, you know, like, you know, rattling towards us, all twitchy, all itchy. And, you know, between the two of us, okay, Lakin is chief technology officer. I am chief security officer.
Correct.
So I have spotted him from about 3 miles away. I clocked him and I'm watching him and he is barreling right towards us.
Yep. And I have my phone plugged in because guess whose phone is dying? Mine.
Right. So now Lakin has found an outlet
on the outside
of the strip mall. She's plugged her phone. Like we are in, this is straight up, I don't know what you call this. We are unhoused.
We are unhoused.
And here comes Meth Dude. So I somehow in my old age, between fight and flight, I'm 100% fight now, which is so bizarre. So I put my bag down. I was like, all right.
She's like, get under the light. Nope, we got to move. Get under the light. Yeah. Duke's up. Like, get ready. Get ready.
So then we have to decamp and move all of the luggage because Lakin has an actual suitcase with her. So we got the suitcase. We have to unplug the phone because now we have to move and decamp over to where we're under a light. So when we have this huge, you know, kickboxer style Sasha Mitchell throwdown with Meth Dude, at least, you know, we can be seen.
Right.
From the street, I guess. I don't know. So ultimately, he changed paths. He looked like he was coming right towards us, but I think we scared him away.
I think we did.
He said that lady in the sleeping bag.
That lady in the sleeping bag looks like she means business.
He goes, I'm scared of that.
I don't want any part of her.
I'm not kidding.
None. So we finally.
His meth goggles were not on.
We finally, after about 45 minutes, someone finally picks us up.
Yes. And meanwhile, the employees close out the restaurant and they come out and they're looking at us going, you're still here?
What are you doing?
And the one lady, it was a young kid who was our waiter and this other lady. And the lady was saying, oh, you know, I drive Uber. I would totally take you, except I don't, you know, I don't have enough room in my car or something like that. It was very nice, but.
So we finally make it back to the hotel. It is past 11 now, and we are, no lie, getting up at 3.
To make this flight, which is at 4:30 or 5 something.
Yeah. Boarded at 4:30, get there at 5. And we had to get on, we had to wake up at 3, I think, because the shuttle to take us.
The shuttle, the airport hotel shuttle that takes you to the airport.
That was the only
airport
one.
Was only at the top of the hour or something. Right.
So we finally get into the room. And I, you know, I am like, I have my little bag. I'm opening it up. I'm digging
through.
There's
skincare happening. All the products are coming out.
I take a quick shower. It's like a military.
In the same room?
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
Oh, my God. I love this.
Yeah, the two queens. The two queen
the
beds.
The two queens and the queens.
The two queen beds.
And I'm doing all these things, and I'm asking Stacey if she wants, you know, a sheet mask for her face and some toothpaste for her finger, and I'm flossing. And Keenan over here is just fully laid out on the bed in the blue sleeping bag outfit, glasses on, eating gummy worms. Like, just full face of makeup.
Still caked on from earlier
She's
in the day.
Like, I'm good. You know, I'm just gonna kind of stay here like this. And
I'm just going to ride out this face of makeup right into 5 a.m. or whatever we're doing.
I'm like, all right. Okay.
Sour gummy worm is Sour a very worm. Decent toothbrush, if that's all you got. Just freshen up like that.
So we lay down, and now it's almost midnight. We're getting 2.5-3 hours of sleep.
But
I don't know.
This is when I get my second wind, of course.
So this is when the second wind, the gummy worm second wind kicks in.
And I'm a night owl anyway.
And who can't stop talking?
What kind of gummies were these again?
Oh my God. Unfortunately, just sour.
They were airport sour gummy worms. They were excellent though.
And there
Poor
are
Lincoln.
Thoughts. There are musings. There are new conversations being had. I'm wearing a retainer, full retainer, because I grind. I have my full retainer and my Dodgers t-shirt on.
But I didn't have my retainer. I just said, goodbye, teeth, RIP.
And she is in this other bed on top of the covers, might I add, just almost vampired, like two hands over the chest, but like talking and eating gummy worms with a full face of makeup on. I was like, this can't be happening. This can't be happening.
Oh, poor Lincoln.
And finally, at one point I went, okay, it's night time.
Question. When you get in, are you immediately doing stuff for 90s Con the
next
day?
Wait, yeah. We have to take a break. Ugh. And we're going to come back, and I will tell you when we land in Hartford. We'll be right back. Deja vu.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, we're back. So we get up at 2:30 in the morning. We're back on. All right. We're just.
Lincoln is never going to share a room with me again for fear of the dreaded second wind that comes on at midnight and results in a torrent of monologues.
Listen, when you have two children who run you ragged all day and you know that they are just going to be at, you're going to have to be up at their beck and call at 6 a.m., you get real used to going to bed at 9:30. So we make it to the airplane. We get on the flight. Thank God it's on time. We get into Chicago. We're now walking through Chicago. We're trying to find our next gate. There has been no food. It was too turbulent, so they could not serve us anything.
They couldn't roll out the food cart. So even though, you know, we're in first class, we're sitting there with a knife and fork just basically banging on the little tray table thing.
Because, so hungry.
God forbid we are sitting in first class and we're not making the most of it. All the champagne, all the drinks. We got nothing.
Nada.
They brought out a little miserable basket with snacks.
Snacks.
And because they couldn't feed us the real food, they were kind of like, well, you can have two snacks.
Yeah. Let us have two. So we're walking through the Chicago airport and all I can think about is Stephen Ray Morris and Home Alone. And I'm taking pictures of Stacey. It is like the iconic airport of Home Alone, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, I was just there like a few weeks before. And say what you will, every airport is pretty miserable now. But there is something magical about that airport because it was immortalized in Home Alone.
Yes. So flags.
Good. And all the flags. So we find a little place. We sit down. We have a coffee. We have some fruit. We're getting ourselves sort of reorganized. And I am like, I wonder where our bags are.
Mm.
So I get on the app and I start tracking the bags. Because I'm curious. You would think, right, they were in Dallas. We are now in Chicago. So you would think that those bags got on our flight. I asked. They said, oh, the bags will follow you.
They will follow you.
They'll follow you.
They'll follow you.
I said, oh, okay, great. So we don't have to No. They'll follow you.
They'll follow you.
Your trip goes, you go, your bags will now follow.
Wherever you may go.
I look at my bag, and it is no longer in Dallas. It is in transit en route to D.C. Why is my bag going to D.C.?
Why is it on a
solo journey?
Adventure.
It's having a sojourn to D.C. So now we're both a little bit nervous because it is 8 a.m. Chicago time. And we would finally get into Hartford around 11:30. We start the con at 4 in the afternoon.
So this means lashes on, people.
This means, thank God she
photo
didn't
ready.
Wash her face. Thank God. Thank God there was no sheet masking for Keenan here because she's got to make that makeup last. And it's going to be – we're probably just going to be rolling straight on in. If there even is luggage to be had, who knows?
Because I did not have makeup. It's a plane. You can't bring all these things. They still have the certain number of ounces of liquid. So it's not like you can just have your makeup case with you. You can't.
No, you have to really have a lot of very small and tiny jars.
If yes, and even that, there's a limit. You
there's
can't have
a
100 of those.
That's
there's only
true.
So many. There's a total ounce limit.
I have a chemist, you know, with like hundreds of little vials.
I am a chemist. You should see my bag. I am a chemist. I have a lot of tiny little vials and jars because I don't like to be without my things for this very reason.
Yes.
So we finally get into Hartford. There has been very little sleep, but we're going to muscle through. We power on to the hotel, and these lovely people at 90s Con have said that they will track down our bags. I've told them we've made all of the considerations with American Airlines. We've put in all the requests.
And we went and talked to them, and they said, oh, yes, well, the bags will be here in a few hours, probably, from their lovely sightseeing that they've been doing in D.C. And once they're done with that, and once they get here to Connecticut, we will drop them off to you. Very lovely. Okay, how long will that take from when they arrive? Oh, 6 to 8 hours.
6 to 8 hours.
So now, yes, the 90s Con people who are so nice and so on it, they organized.
They put someone on. We gave them all of our information. We gave them descriptions of the bags.
Photos of our IDs so they would be allowed to leave the airport with the bags.
And they went back, they double backed, and they went and found our blessed bags.
And this person, God love him. I don't know. I was told different things, that his name was Richard. I was also told his name was Robert. But Robert, Richard, thank you. Because this person, there was a flight and one of the bags was not on it. So instead of just leaving, he became Josh Mankiewicz and did some investigative reporting and hunted down someone from American and found out that they were probably on the next flight, and he waited there and he got the last bag. He was the savior of all the bags.
He was a savior.
Robert, Richard, we love you.
Only people experiencing, there were people,
that's
so many people.
Like, yes. Did anyone else, any of the other step-by-step cast, did they have issues traveling?
Oh. Patrick Duffy was snowed in Colorado.
He showed us a video. It was a wall of snow. It was something like 5 feet of snow that fell overnight.
Yes.
And he
could not get out of his driveway. There was a video of his girlfriend, Linda, in front of him, up to her waist with poles.
Using ski poles because they hired a snowplow to come and plow out their driveway, but the guy couldn't see where the driveway was. So Linda had to walk the course and plow out a little path for him to follow with the snowplow to carve out their driveway. So he was late, but it was very sweet. When he did finally arrive, there was a whole bunch of people waiting for him at his table. And there was a big cheer that erupted when he came out. And then they all sang happy birthday to him because his birthday is on St. Patty's Day. You know, he's an Irishman, of course.
Yes.
So they sang him happy birthday. It was really nice.
But, you know, again, you could have just said, yeah, it's just not going to work out. I'm snowed in. And he was ready to get that plow.
He
was
ready
to power through and get out there. And it was really nice. So anyway, we finally got the bags. We finally get to the con. The con is happening.
But it starts Friday night. It was Friday night 4 to 8. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't have the bags. And the bags just were not going to come. And I was already late. You know, we were supposed to be there at 4 o'clock and there's people waiting to meet you. And I'm like, oh my God, I've been wearing these clothes for what feels like a week. This outfit is not a camera ready outfit. It is a big comfy outfit, but it's not a camera ready outfit. What am I going to do? I don't have any makeup. I don't have anything.
You could have worn a t-shirt that said, don't mess with Texas. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay.
Photoshop it in.
I had a lip gloss. I had a little pressed powder. All right. So ultimately, I just went down like that. And then, of course, we see Jason Marsden, who I have not seen in years, who promptly calls my outfit Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, no, my God.
So I'm like, Jason, I'm already not feeling good about this outfit. This was not supposed to be a camera forward outfit. And now you're calling me Mrs. Doubtfire. Are you serious?
Shady.
Anyway, so... But yeah, so we went and we were late, but we were there on Friday night and just met so many of these lovely people.
It was really fun. And that was really the moment when we went. They had a backstage green room, which was really nice. They had lunch and some breakfast items,
coffee. All of the amenities. You really feel like a TV star.
You do. It's so the craft service. They had a little area that had Tylenol and
all the little
should you have a migraine or have seasonal allergies?
Yes, some sparkling water, of course.
And that was really the moment where we saw everyone. I mean, Patrick aside, because he hadn't gotten there yet, but there was Brandon Call.
Oh my God. Have not seen him since we wrapped the show.
Yeah. Since we wrapped. It was wild. Everyone is basically
the same,
just older.
Yes. Yeah. And Chris Castile, who played Mark, of course, who I have not seen also since we wrapped the show.
So fun. Chris and I were so close because we spent so many years together in that schoolroom.
Yeah. See, that's an important thing. If that hasn't been clear from the episodes of the podcast so far, the schoolroom was broken up basically by grade levels. Mm-hmm. It's hard enough for these tutors because they're teaching every subject. Can you imagine teaching every subject, especially for a high school student? That's really hard.
Really hard.
They would bring in tutors, you know, if it was, you know, so I had a Latin tutor, of course, you know, math tutors for some of the more esoteric math and stuff, but it's really hard. So anyway, Angela Watson and I, we were tutored together because we were in the same grade, mm-hmm. or she was one grade behind me. And then Lakin, it was you and
Chris.
Brandon and Chris, right?
Originally, it was me and Brandon. And then Chris and Josh Byrne were together. We had three different little tiny rooms.
Three schoolrooms, mm-hmm. three tutors to keep the... So each one is kind of its own little one-room schoolhouse.
Yeah.
But it makes it so that set teacher doesn't, you know, at least narrows down the number of grade levels that they're trying to teach at the same time. Yeah.
And then it ended up just being Chris and I and Josh for a long time. The three of us, because we were the only ones still in high school, junior high and high school.
But it was
just Chris and I for a long time.
Yeah. So you end up getting extra close with that person because not only are you working on the set all day, but then in between when you're not actually on set and you're doing school, then you go and you spend all these hours in the schoolroom together with your tutor. And that you and your tutor, the two of you, like in the case of me and Angie with our teacher, would then get really close.
Yeah. I don't think we've talked about it yet on the podcast, but when you're doing the school, is it like in between takes?
Yeah.
Like, or is it set in the morning or after you shoot? Or like if your scenes are, you know, because obviously you're in different scenes and stuff, like is it?
Yeah.
How did that work?
So by law, you have to have 3 hours of school a day, and that can be broken up in any requirements that you need to have. generally, they try not to do any time that's less than 20 minutes because it's really not very conducive. So a lot of times if, say, crew call would be 10 a.m., they would bring us in at 9 so we could get that one full hour of school before we started to work. And then usually they would try to, a lot of first ADs, try to work the schedule in pockets.
First assistant director.
So they might want to do a lot of Stacy scenes in the morning. So then I would be doing a lot of my own, say we weren't in the same scenes, I'd be doing a lot of my own school in the morning, and then in the afternoons it would switch, and then I would basically be done with my school, and then Stacy would be continuing. But there are times where it's like, it's if you're really heavy in the episode and you have a lot of storyline, it's hard to get those schooling hours in. So they're always talking about banking hours. That was always the thing
banking
with us.
Hours. And they also had stand-ins for each of us. So they would do blocking rehearsals where the stand-ins would stand in for us and rehearse the scenes with all the adults. And meanwhile, we would be in school. And then they would bring us in before the run-through that was at the end of the day. And your stand-in would teach you the blocking. Wow. Real quick, you know, they only had a few minutes with you and you had to learn it real fast. So they would just show you the blocking because you needed that extra time to be in school. But then, you know, usually a lot of times, and especially if you're taking honors and AP, I was super into school. There weren't enough hours to get all the work done.
Never.
So at the end of the workday, after the run through, I would go back to the schoolroom and keep working for a lot more hours because it just wasn't.
It was never enough time.
If you wanted good grades, you weren't going to get it.
Totally. Done. I had external tutors on the weekends. Yeah. I had a chemistry tutor. I'd have to go to her house in Encino. And she was a physics student at UCLA. And she would set up full-on experiments in her parents' kitchen. And I would have to do all these experiments for school. And I had a Spanish tutor who would come, and I'd have to do conversation with her, and I was constantly in school. I was constantly trying to make up the school.
A lot of hours. Yeah. I would go see my Latin teacher, Mr. Caesar. Yes, his name was Mr. Caesar, and he taught Latin.
It's on the nose.
So I would go to the high school at night when the high school was basically closed. My mom would drop me off, and I would go to his classroom. We would work on Latin for a couple hours from, I don't know, 7 to 8 o'clock or something.
Oh my God.
And because where do you find a Latin tutor? There aren't any.
Yeah.
Anyway,
dead language.
But we digress. So shall we get back to 90s?
Yeah, 90s gone. 90s gone. So yeah, really fun to see everyone. And just to get caught up. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. It's kind of like going to your 25th high school reunion in many ways, but you actually want to see everyone there. There is not like a moment. People have this idea of your high school reunion where, you know, you don't want to see this person or you weren't friends with that person or whatever. It is not like that at all.
No, it was not fraught in any way.
No.
There was no tension to it. It's more of just the excitement of getting to see everyone and that kind of family feeling and how fast it comes back. It's amazing. I mean, I hadn't seen Chris Castile in all those years, and we just started chatting about what he's doing now. And hopefully we will get him and Brandon and some other people. We definitely talked to all of them about, chatted them up about the possibility of coming on the pod so we can interview them. And they were down.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will be coming up. But, you know, hearing about Chris and what he's doing and his career and his kids and his wife, and it was just within minutes, it was like, no time had passed and we had been together this whole time.
Yeah.
With no gap in between. It was just
lovely. It really
lovely.
Felt that way. And for me too, you know, I was contemporaries with a lot of those other kids who were on those other shows. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are the same age or similar ages. So I was friends with the Boy Meets World people, still am. Always fun to see them, Ryder and Will and Danielle. And then, of course, Andrew Keegan was there, who just had his own booth, but I was kind of like, he was on every single show in the 90s, which was just hilarious.
I wonder if women were coming up and being like, yes, I do want a picture, but can we just make out for a minute?
And it was really fun to see. Oh, it's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I was friends with Jenna Lee Green. She and I used to do like workouts together with Melissa when we were younger. Because again, PE credits, you had to get PE credits.
Yeah.
So you would have to, this, there was a company and they would go around from set to set. And a lot of the sets used the same company and they would do whatever you wanted. You wanted to play basketball? Great. You wanted to play tennis? Great.
You wanted a yoga class? You can take the yoga class.
Yep. I wanted to do step aerobics.
Step aerobics. Okay.
Because it was the '90s. Mm-hmm. So we, myself, and Jenna and Melissa, we were doing Tai Bo and step aerobics. And I think Danielle used the same. We talked about this on Pod Meets World. But anyway, so a lot of us knew each other from like those funny little connections.
Yeah.
So it was really fun. I mean, I had dinner with Andrew on Saturday night. That was great. We got caught up and then Ryder came and joined. Yes, it was like, you're just flashing back to the mid 90s.
Yes.
And then he left and Ryder came and joined and he and I had a drink and just chatted and chatted and chatted. And it was great.
It's really good to see them. And a lot of people, Christine Taylor and David Lasher from Hey Dude, the 90s called, their pod. Yeah, it was very nice to see all of those people and in the green room to catch a sighting of Susan Sarandon. I was like, oh my God.
Did you talk to her?
No, I didn't dare say anything to her. And I just saw her and I just was, you know, just goggling at her. She looked great. She looked exact. Just picture Susan Sarandon, the reddish hair, the curls. She's just, what an icon. It was unbelievable. And then who should walk by in the green room? Gina Davis. Don't worry. She's only 6'1". She's so tall and majestic. I could not believe it.
Oh, yeah.
She also looked stunning. I saw Mira Sorvino.
Amazing.
In the green room. She looked beautiful.
She had a little cropped pink
tweed jacket on.
Ooh.
Mama. Yes. And then we were walking down the hallway that was outside of the green room. And I was saying to someone, you know, talking about Marissa Tomei, and somebody said, oh, well, do you want to, someone from the con said, oh, do you want to meet her? And I said, oh, no, I couldn't handle meeting her. It would just be so cool to just see her from afar. So this lady was kind of sitting on the side and she jumped up and she said, oh, do you want to meet Marissa? And I was like, oh, what? And then so later, I think it was her agent or something. So later I was at my little booth and somebody said, oh, you need to go in the back because they have these, you know, behind your booth is this little curtain that you can step behind. So I go behind the curtain and Marissa Tomei was there. Yes, her agent brought her over so I could meet her.
That's so nice.
Yes, she was very beautiful, very shy, very soft-spoken. Anyway, it was thrilling.
Oh, it's so thrilling. I was so happy to see my homie Jody Sweetin and Beverly Mitchell. We did a show together about 5 years ago called Hollywood Darlings. So we did a little thing together and that was super fun. And yeah, it was I felt equally as enamored by seeing people who I've admired growing up as I did just seeing my friends again and feeling like I got to connect with them a little bit, which is really cool.
It was lovely.
Yeah, it was great. Shall we take a quick break and then come back and talk about Patrick's birthday?
Yes!
Okay. Deja vu. And we're back.
We're back.
Okay, so the last day of 90s Con was Sunday. We did 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And this also coincided with St. Patrick's Day, which, as Stacey mentioned, is Patrick Duffy's birthday. And not just any birthday, this was his 75th birthday. Now, I knew this coming in because I don't want to say that I wrangled everybody into this, but I
feel wrangled. Like you did.
I was a little bit of a lightning rod or conduit to try to get this step-by-step reunion back together.
I mean, you are a director, choreographer. You've wrangled kids as well, too.
Kids, yes. Am I a director? Am I a control freak? Whatever you want to call me.
Cast wrangler.
Wrangler, I wrangle the people. So when I at first heard that 90s Con was coming up, and I knew some people who had gone and said it was great and were going, and Jason was one of those and reached out to me, and then I kind of reached out to Stacey, and I said, what do you think? And it might be fun, and we were getting the pod together, so it seemed like a good idea. And then they could not find Chris for a very long time. So I had an old email for Chris. So I wrote Chris, and I was like, hey, I don't know if this is your email still, but we're thinking about doing this, and kind of talked to him about it. And he's like, yeah, I got a random email through my work, but I thought it was spam. So Chris finally said yes. And then Angela said yes. And then I wrote Patrick because they were having trouble connecting with Patrick. And I wrote him and said, hey, I know it's your birthday coming up. And I realized it was the 75th. And I said, you know, a lot of us are going to this 90s con thing. I don't know. Maybe it would be fun to have a hug and have a moment and celebrate you and celebrate life and celebrate what we all created together. Aww. Especially, I feel like in the just wake of Suzanne's passing, we hadn't all been together. And I just thought it, like, life is so short and life is weird and you don't know what's around the corner. And I just thought it might be, I don't know, 30 years is a long time to go.
Yeah.
So he was so sweet and wrote me back and said, I have to discuss with Linda, but sounds like a fun time. And then a few days later was like, oh, Linda says I can go. We're free. I can be there. So that was really special. And then the last one was Brandon Call. And they had asked me if I knew where to find him. And I said, you know, unfortunately, I really don't. I have his mom's email. I can send her a message, but I said, I don't want you to get your hopes up. I just don't think, I don't know that he wants to do anything like this. And I just don't know if he, you know, would say yes. And somehow they spoke to him. I sent his mom an email. I don't know, but somehow they talked to him and I was shocked that he said yes. And I was so happy he did.
Yeah. It was great to see him.
It really was. So anyway, I knew we were all going to be there and I made a reservation in the weeks coming up to celebrate Patrick's birthday. And we had a lovely dinner on Sunday after we finished the con. Ugh. And we went to the Capitol Grill, which big shout out to the Capitol Grill Hartford, across the street from the convention center.
So nice. What a good experience that was.
So good. And I had been there before. I had gone over there with Andrew and Ryder to have a drink the night before. And I just had checked on our reservation and they were so accommodating, got us a really pretty table, private table.
Private
and they
room.
Went out of their way and did a birthday cake for Patrick. And we just lived it up. It was fabulous.
It was insane. And of course, Patrick is, you know, he is the goofball that Frank is. He is not the Dallas guy. He is the step-by-step guy. He is funny and hilarious, and he's a raconteur, and he's got endless stories of all of his days in the industry going back for so many years. So it was a hilarious, hilarious time. And yes, we did live it up. They brought us a special appetizer that's not even on the menu. Patrick and I had oysters.
There were martinis flowing.
There were martinis happening. A few of us ordered lobster tails that were from South Africa.
It was beyond.
It was wild. And then, of course, you know, we're Lakin and I over here are keeping up with Patrick drink for drink. Basically,
which don't you listen?
Don't try.
Don't try to
don't
do
try
that
it.
With may- Mr. Duffy. Okay, he's been doing this a lot longer.
Yes.
And he's Irish, and he's got it in his blood.
He's very tall.
He's very
and
tall.
He is. Yes, he is. So we started with a cocktail with Patrick. Then mm-hmm. we moved on to a glass of wine, and then of course Patrick naturally needs to have some port.
Port.
To round out the meal. Now, of course.
When do I drink port?
Never.
Never.
But it's like, hey, we're gonna have what Patrick's having. So we
I
each
said,
had port some
sounds
port.
Great.
We each had a little goblet of port.
And then at the end of this festive and ridiculously exorbitant, riotous meal.
Insane meal.
Who picks up the check?
Who do you think?
Jason Marsden.
Correct.
I was floored. He would not. He was a sneaky, snaky,
stealthy,
shady.
Wouldn't hear of anything. Shut us all down.
Just somehow took that check and it was paid and it was done and he wouldn't let us contribute. And it was much too generous of him.
Yeah.
Very, very, very kind.
Yes.
So we owe him a dinner.
Yes, we do.
Jace, we owe you a dinner.
Yes. And his lovely significant other.
Yes.
Remy.
Yes. Remy. So then we go back to the hotel bar. God.
Yeah. Why? Oh. Now, after the cocktails, the wine,
Steven
and
says,
then a port, Patrick was down to keep partying.
He goes, well, the hotel bar's got to be open. So.
And it was hopping.
It was hopping.
On a Sunday night because it was all the con people.
And it was also St. Patrick's Day. People were ready to go.
That's
so
right.
Then we had. I
27 more drinks?
I don't know.
I really.
I
don't know. At one point, now I still feel bad about this. Lakin attempted to order a near beer.
I did. No, I did order a near beer.
Well, and then like
and then they shaded me for it.
Like the horrible, like a nightmare frat brother, I gave her a hard time about it. Isn't that bad? I feel really bad about that.
Like, bro,
yes,
we're not doing this tonight.
Pretty much. Yes. Very bad. Well, very
Patrick's
bad.
Patrick's having now some kind of, you know, vodka cocktail. I think you were having Prosecco. That seemed like a bad idea.
I love Prosecco.
At the end of the night?
That, always.
I know, but that's just a hangover. I can already feel it in my head. And I was like, I got to get on a flight tomorrow. I got to get right back into it.
And
I've
by
got
tomorrow,
kids to watch
we meant that 3 a.m.
Yeah, like in just near hours. So I did. I ordered a near beer.
And then, yeah, I dealt got, with a torrent of abuse from Keenan over here. Frat boy Keenan.
It wasn't just you. It wasn't just you.
Wait, were you staying in the same hotel again?
Same yes, hotel, but same not hotel. The same room.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Yes. As much as I would have loved to have chat Lincoln's head off all night long while she's trying to take a quick nap before our 3 a.m., another 3 a.m. departure, as much as I would have loved that.
So
unfortunately, she had her own room.
Patrick ends up retiring. He goes back up to his room, of which I should have taken the cue and been like, I'm out of here. Because the bar was closing. Let's be clear. The bar was closing.
We were
at the
just
hotel.
At that point where it's, you know, at this. At this time of night, at this point,
I can't.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my lovely, I don't know if you call them a handler, assistant, wing woman for the weekend, Vanessa was with us. And you always have somebody who sticks with you, sticks by you at the con at your table to help assist. And she was amazing. We got on so well. And so we're hanging out and everyone keeps trying. Someone brought like white wine. I don't know where they got it from. Maybe a mini bar. I have no idea. But then there was like cups of white wine that were being handed out. Like I said, bad idea. Hangover City. And generally Green's there and Stacy's there. And we're just chatting it up.
We're
just chatting for hours. Finally, it's 1:30 in the morning and Stacy's, again, great idea. Night owl's like, well, we might as well just stay up at this point. I mean, we're not going to bed just to get up at 3. And I was like, great idea. Perfect.
I mean, it feels worse if you try to go to bed for like an hour than I feel like just pushing through.
Well, yeah, all bad.
Right.
For me it was, personally.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. And it was a 5 a.m. flight?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was not good.
And I think we had a 3:30 departure from the
Very
hotel.
Bad.
So then I go upstairs at this point after 26 drinks and try to pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thankfully had packed a little bit right before we left for this very reason. I was nervous.
Yes. I should have known that a night out with Patrick Duffy was not going to be, you know, a sober affair. I should have thought ahead. But I just let caution go to the wind.
I mean, we both come down at 3:30 in the morning.
Still drunk, I was.
Yeah, definitely faded.
Absolutely.
Get into the car with lovely Gary, who was
lovely,
our...
Lovely, poor, long-suffering Gary.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, this poor man.
He was the travel associate for the company and was so wonderful and had to deal with us. Stacy can't
us
work
around.
The seatbelt. I'm trying to buckle her in. It was some newfangled kind of seatbelt in the car. They're trying to... Do you remember me rearranging the bags in the trunk? But they open this trunk and yes. It's all of Stacy's hat box and 14 trunk different wheelie bags and the trunk just looks like it's not going to work and I just start Tetrising. I'm like, no, we got this. And I'm just drunk Tetrising the back of this car. We finally get all the bags in. Miraculous. It works. We get in the car. We get to the airport and then proceeds like two Keystone Cops trying to figure out how to get our bags, tag them, and get through security.
And the airport was mobbed.
It was like...
It was dark out. It was so early.
It was 4 a.m.
But there were huge lines and throngs of people everywhere. And it was that thing that even though it was the fancy thing for the con and they had us flying first class, they still expect you to tag your own bags and work all these check-in kiosks. And we're over here being like... We are wasted. Do you understand that?
I cannot do this.
You want me to print a tag for this bag and put it on the bag and then proceed to go to the right gate and the right thing and go through security?
It was bad.
Like, we don't work here.
It was a zombie apocalypse. And I would not have survived. There's no amount of running zigzags that would have saved me from myself that day. I got this tag. I started to loop it together. I couldn't figure out how it was supposed to go. I then distributed it at the gate check-in. And this woman was like...
The lady from the airline was just looking at Lakin like, oh,
you
God.
Dumb bee.
Disdain.
She was just so dismayed that I did not know how to tag my own bag. And I was not in any shape to do anyone else's jobs.
And meanwhile, me and Lakin are on this... We've got this banter and this patter back and forth. Oh my God. It was the drunk... back and forth, just riffing and just making fun of everything, making fun of ourselves. The patter was ongoing. God. Poor Gary. It's just like, get me on a plane and away from these two.
He thank God he stuck with us, because I think he was like, I need to make sure that they need a chaperone. We finally get to the gate. It is mobbed by all the zombies. People are just zombieing out everywhere. Stacy's gone to pick something up, and I don't know where she is.
More sour gummy worms.
I have a massive bottle of water and a bag of chips.
And Lakin is sitting on her suitcase. She's perched on top of the suitcase, eating this huge bag of chips. Yeah. And yep. And drinking the water. And then I come staggering back with my sour gummy worms, which I have a requirement to fly with. Fly
there's a text them. To like, she doesn't even see it till the next day that says, are you okay?
Right. I think they thought I wandered off. But it was very purposeful. I needed the damn sour gummy worms.
4:30 a.m. Are you okay?
Like, well, it's 4:30 a.m. Obviously, I'm buying the gummies.
Oh, God. So we finally get on the plane. I pass out on both flights. I'm like, can't deal with my life. My hangover is already set in. It is all my bad decisions are coming back to haunt me. I'm like wondering what I talked about the night before. I'm having anxiety. We get back into Burbank and it's just hot. It's so hot, and my mom is picking me up.
Super hot.
I feel like I've just come back from Vegas, and you land, you know, and it's just that like
just that blast jet fuel. Of heat. Yes,
and
oh yeah, I was trying to sleep on the plane, but it was so hard to sleep. It was so uncomfortable. And then I had this bottle of water, and I screwed the lid onto the bottle of water. Lakin's laughing over there. And then I go to pick up my bag. Now, keep in mind, my carry-on bag, which is my, like I said, the bag that I bring to work every day, this huge bag that I carry around downtown LA, it is navy blue suede. Okay? It's navy blue.
Okay.
Suede. Well, turns out I didn't quite screw that lid on exactly right. It was one thread off. And so half of this enormous bottle of water has spilled inside of the navy blue suede bag. Which I don't realize this at first. So I grab the bag at one point. I'm probably looking for sour gummy worms.
Sure.
Put the bag on my lap. I'm rifling through it.
Everything's wet.
The blue dye, leather, whatever from the bag is now all over my light gray jacket, which I'm using as a blanket and a pillow. And so I'm pretty sure I ruined this jacket.
Oh, no.
I do not think navy blue dye from a suede bag is going to come out of this jacket. So now I'm walking through airports, like wet, just navy dye on everything. I mean, it was
unreal. I then went home, took a shower, picked up my children, went to a governance meeting at school, voted on a budget.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. And came home, made my kids dinner, and put them to bed. I was not well. I was texting with Vanessa, and she was like, did you make it home? I was like, Vanessa, I am not okay. And she was like, I am not okay. I don't know how you're even functioning. I was like, it was so many things.
Wow.
So yeah, we're basically disasters. This is, if we can just sum up, 90s Con was amazing. Our fans were absolutely amazing. They filled us up to the brim with all the wonderful, beautiful joy and love that they gave us. And we are disasters. Yes. When left to our own devices.
It is a tragedy, but thank you so much to everybody who came out. It was so nice. Every single person was so nice.
It was so wonderful. It really was.
It was just so lovely. So to all of you who came out to meet us, I'm so glad to have met all of you. And
yeah.
I will never forget it.
Can I read this little thing from our fan?
Yes.
Okay. So this was one of our fans who came from all the way from France. His name is Jan. And he gave you one of these, too. I'll read you this one. On the front is a picture of step-by-step cast, and it's like a little postcard. And he wrote on the back, and this is what he wrote. Dear Christine, it's my dream to meet you today. I flew from Paris on Friday morning, starry eyes throughout the trip.
Will he please learn how to speak English?
Step-by-step is a cult and iconic show. You and all the cast made this show exceptional, and you are exceptional. It was an escape, a consolation, a comfort when I watch you in Step by Step, and I never thought I'd ever have the chance to be here today with you. With all my admiration, yours, Jan.
Oh, Jan.
Isn't that so
from
sweet?
From Paris, yes.
It was just so sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
And so many of the things. There was a young girl who made me an owl bracelet, like Taylor Swift, but it said owl on it.
Oh.
Just all of these like very sweet notes and cards. And so I just want to let all of you know who came and who saw us and who sent notes and comments, how appreciative we are and how much it meant to us. And we've just loved being able to meet you and spend that time with you. So
absolutely,
thank you very much.
Loved it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's our 90s recap, everyone. Steven, any thoughts?
I mean, that felt like a step-by-step episode. You survived. But
hijinks,
we all learned something. There's
antics,
a beautiful moral at the end. We heard the chimes. It was heartwarming. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. I don't know.
Wait, what's the moral of the story? Don't have 27 drinks and then try to get on a plane?
I think the moral of the story is that our work actually meant something to someone.
Yes, that is the true moral of the story. And the heart
survives. The heart lives on. Yeah. And don't share a room with Stacey. Don't take Stacey's advice at 1 a.m. whilst drinking champagne out of a vending machine. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this bonus episode of 90s Con. Hopefully there will be more 90s Cons in the future for us to have hijinks and then report back on. I am Christine Lakin.
I'm Stacey Keenan.
And we'll catch you next time. We hope we've given you some kind of deja vu. I just got deja vu from recounting this episode. Bye. Thanks for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at keenanandlakin@gmail.com and follow us on social at @keenanandlakin. Big shout out to our producer and editor, Stephen Ray Morris. We love you dearly.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.